This is Rainmaker.fm, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker. That's hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. So awesome of you to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is recognized as an unquestionable authority in the content strategy space after writing her seminal article, The Discipline of Content Strategy. She is also one of the coolest, most passionate, and friendly people that you could ever hope to meet. Although we don't avoid content strategy explicitly in this conversation, we are here to talk about her as an entrepreneur. My guest is currently the CEO and founder at Brain Traffic, and the founder of the Confab Content Strategy Conferences. Her agency, Brain Traffic, is home to a team of renowned content strategists serving clients like Hewlett-Packard, Coca-Cola, Merck, Best Buy, and a whole slew of others. She currently lives south of me in the northern city of St. Paul, Minnesota, with her two kids. Now, let's hack Christina Halvorsen. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not just for being our amazing sponsor of the show, but also their support is so damn good. I'm trying to get it for my year end to get done to my accountant, and I've realized that I can actually, my expenses from my bank account can be linked directly to my FreshBooks account, and it's all automatically done for me. Amazing, right? But I have a software company, as I've said, but I'm not very technically savvy. So I was doing it completely wrong, but I instantly called them and got on the phone with a real live person who walked me through it in 2 minutes, and it was immediately done. And the report was sent off to my accountant, and I just need to thank them because I may have smashed my computer otherwise, and that would have been a very expensive mistake. Try it absolutely free today at freshbooks.com/hack and join over 5 million users running their businesses hassle-free like I did today. Be sure to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We are back on Hack the Entrepreneur, and we have a brilliant, brilliant guest today that I'm so excited to get to talk to. Christina, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. What do you say we jump straight into it?
Great.
Awesome. Okay, Christina, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Yes, meet people. Whenever anybody asks me, how did you build your business? And what do you attribute this or that to? The whole thing has been being brave about reaching out to people. I often joke that I built my early copywriting freelance business on food and coffee because I would just, you offer people free food, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take it. So asking people to lunch, coffee, happy hour. And then once I started talking about and learning about content strategy in earnest, it was LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and just sort of stalking anybody who talked about content or thought of themselves as a content strategist. So that's the thing, right? If you're a total introvert, it's going to be tough.
Are you a total? You're not a total introvert then.
I was an extrovert when I was younger. And since sort of getting out there and getting my work, published and then speaking at so many conferences, Myers-Briggs thing? Last time I took that, I was exactly in the middle of introvert and extrovert. And how that typically manifests is that I go out on stage and talk and get to talk to a lot of people afterwards. And then when it's time for the party, I go into my room and hide under the covers.
So when you're in performance mode, you can sort of do it?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, there's some article in the New York Times, I think, talking about that book that that was written about introverts that was so popular. And that was one of the things it said, is that surprisingly, a lot of introverts are really great at public speaking or being public figures. So,
wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
I haven't read that book. I will need to look it up.
Are you an introvert?
Yeah.
Oh, but look at you doing a podcast.
Exactly. But as you said at the beginning, the whole call people up for coffee and all that, like, if I would have just obviously emailed you and been like, we should just get on Skype for half an hour, you would have been like, I'm kind of busy. But it's like, oh, we're recording it. We're doing a show. I'll release it. You're like, okay. So that's been kind of my way, I guess, of meeting people as well.
I will say though, if you had just called me up and said, hey, can I talk to you for half an hour about how you built your business and content strategy, I work really, really hard to do those calls. So, you know, if I'm super overwhelmed, I will say no, but a lot of times I will take those calls, because if other people had not spent their time with me when I was still trying to get it all figured out, it would have been a lot harder climb.
Yeah, that's true. And that was kind of jerkish of me to just say that you wouldn't. I mean, just in general.
I know where you were coming from, but yeah, for sure.
Most people would.
It is a lot easier to respond to and commit to a formal request when you're super busy. So I didn't mean to call you out on that.
So
let's be friends. Let us never speak of this again.
All right. We can do that. But let's go back a little bit, because I like that idea of like taking people out for coffee or for lunch or happy hour, getting started in the content strategy business. Because lots of people listening are getting started and are wondering how to go about meeting those people. Like, we can go to conferences, be the one person in 1,000, and you can meet some other people kind of where you're at, but not so much where you want to be.
No. And, you know, honestly, I think that we at Brain Traffic, we produce content strategy conferences. We're doing 3 this year. And, you know, we get feedback a lot. I want to talk about conferences for just a second, because
we get
a lot of feedback where people are like, I need better opportunities for networking. And what about for introverts? And I came here to meet people. And we work, you know, we're working harder actually to provide sort of smaller, more intimate, less scary opportunities for people to connect with others. I teach a workshop at those conferences, and that's actually a really terrific place for people to meet, because it's sort of like a safe learning environment. But honestly, if you are just getting started, I think going to a conference with 1,000 people and hoping for the best is probably not a great idea. Because a lot of people who are doing networking are vendors, and everybody's got their vendor blinders up. Do you know what I mean? I think it's much smarter to start smaller. So to join a local here there's the Minnesota Interactive Marketing Association, and I joined the board in 2002, and I totally credit my involvement there with starting my practice here in the Twin Cities. So, you know, or volunteer for a conference and meet the other volunteers and the organizers. Don't push yourself to do something so crazy and overwhelming. Just start small, because then you build your network and you build your confidence sort of one block at a time.
Excellent. I love the advice. And it's great, great, great advice, especially for somebody putting on conferences. You think you'd be like, everybody should go to conferences all the time.
Oh, well, don't get me wrong. Everybody should go to conferences all the time. But yeah, and there's actually steps. That leads to another point, which is that as an entrepreneur, I think it's so easy to go heads down into, you know, your own thing in the day to day, and you're managing your books and your finances and people and product or service. And I think it's really easy to stop getting out to conferences or sort of let that, you know, go down to the bottom of the list, both because of like the time and the expense and the travel hassle and whatever else. But this idea of just constant learning and constantly, you know, sort of fostering curiosity in areas other than your own, I think is really critical. And in fact, for people at conferences, I always tell them, go to at least one session that you think has absolutely nothing to do with your job, because you'll learn something that might shed light on what it is that you do all day, every day. So I think that's a hugely critical component for folks considering becoming entrepreneurs.
Nice. That's a smart idea. I like that. Because you go to a conference and you kind of pick your stream of like, I know this, I want to know this, more of this, more of this, more, but not like, I like that. I totally have nothing to do with this one, but I'm going to go and broaden my horizons.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes you'll be bored out of your mind and sometimes you'll realize, oh, this is something I'm really curious in, or wow, I actually understand what's being said up there. And now I feel smart.
Exactly.
Which is how I feel every single time I go into a discussion about like structured content or metadata or XML or whatever.
I know this stuff. I know this.
Yeah.
So back to these coffees and happy hours. And so right before that, I guess, is when you decided that you were going to go out on your own and do your own thing. So what I've noticed is, from all my guests, is that there's this time in every entrepreneur's life, and they might not even know they're an entrepreneur at this point yet, but...
Right? I think that all the time.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But so they either have this calling to make something big in the world, or what seems to be most of the time is they simply just can't work for somebody else. Can you please tell us how this happened for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... You know, I have an attitude problem is kind of what it comes down to. And when I was younger and hot-headed, like more hot-headed, I would work with people and I would just be like, no, that is not the right way to do that. Like, give me that. You know, and it started with writing where I would look at brochures as somebody was going to send out. And I was just like, no, we can't. Just give me that and I will rewrite that, right? Which on the one hand is great because I was a good writer and it was helping the brochure. On the other hand, it was totally obnoxious and, you know, set up bad team dynamics. And yeah, and it's embarrassing now. Although any employee of mine now will tell you that I am still guilty of doing that sometimes. But yeah, so essentially I was just a super lousy employee because I always thought I knew more than the people running the company. You know, God bless my poor parents who had to live with me growing up. So yeah, I went on and decided I would try kind of contracting. So I went and got two part-time jobs and they both had super egomaniacal people running the company. So I left one of them, which did not sit well with me. So I left one of them. And then the second one, the guy kind of, you know, fired me the very first opportunity he saw available to him, which happened to be the day after 9/11. So I was out of a job in just like the day the US economy crashed. So that was awesome. And, you know, but I had to say, okay, well, what is the one thing that I do that I feel the most confident about? Because I need to go figure out how to make money off of that. And that was copywriting.
Nice.
But yeah, I say all the time at this point, I am completely unemployable.
I think it happens just over time. You get further and further from, and I mean, it sounds like you weren't even at the beginning, but now you're probably even further from that because you've run your own thing.
Yeah, you know, but don't get me wrong. I fantasize about being somebody else's employee, you know, at least once a week, right? I mean, you know, of course I leave out, but then what always gets to me is that then I would have to like go to an office from 8 to 5 every day. And that just sounds really miserable. So that brings me back around to the fact that not every morning can I be trusted to, you know, change out of pajamas. But yeah, I don't remember what I was saying, where I was going with that. I know about becoming somebody else's employee. You know, I will say that as much as I joke about how hot-headed and know-it-all I was and am sometimes still guilty of being, there is nothing more humbling than running your own business. I mean, it's humbling to the point of like mortification, and it's good, but it's also, you know, part of this, one of the scary things is sort of having to face yourself and your limitations and the, you know, parts of yourself that cause trouble with employees or get yourselves into financial trouble. And yeah, it's humbling.
That's awesome. I like it. And it is absolutely humbling, obviously. And lots of it, if not all of it now, is on you and your decisions and what you decide the company should do, right? So that makes it hard. And as entrepreneurs and as humans just in general, which I would think you would agree with me, Christina, one of the hardest things for us to do is to deal with the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and then failing. So you are in business. You probably make bold decisions of what you think you should do, and they might not always end up right. So could you walk us through how to be wrong in your business?
Oh, why, yes, I can. You know, I wrote a piece about a year ago at this time about sort of the low point in my business at Brain Traffic. And it was a very frank piece where I was just like, look, we were up to 22 people. We were, you know, like Brain Traffic in all caps, the leading content strategy consultancy in the country. And I was Christina Halverson, you know, like speaker and author and content strategy, you know, thought leader, whatever horrible things people call me. And so like, for all intents and purposes, we should have been on top of the world, right? But I'd grown very quickly to 22 people. I was, you know, super inexperienced as a business manager, and especially as a leader and a manager of people. And we made a bunch of really bad decisions around finances. I made decisions based on keeping people happy and keeping people employed versus keeping the business intact and healthy, which in turn, of course, completely backfired and everybody became miserable and everything fell apart. And I went deeply, deeply into debt. I ended up having to let go of 75% of my staff. I had to go back and do work that I had not formally done in like 3 or 4 years because I'd been so busy out there, you know, preaching about it and talking about it and inspiring people about it. So those were very dark days. And having, you know, it took me a while to really sort of like sit back and identify where I had went wrong and untangle some of those really ugly feelings around, well, this person did this, or if this hadn't happened, or I can't take the blame for X, Y, and Z. And getting to, I am accountable for this and I am accountable for that. And at the end of the day, I was the one that made the calls. I was the one that made the decisions. And there's no one to be responsible for the mess we were in except for myself. And that is a bitter pill to swallow, right? And so, you know, I think, okay, well, why didn't I just fold? Why didn't I just fold and cash out and pay off my debts and go get a job elsewhere and, you know, give up? And I think that part of it is that I really, truly never saw of it as a failure. I spoke with a lot of other small business owners at the time, and they, to a person, were just like, you'll be fine. I'm surprised this hasn't happened to you earlier. You'll be fine. And I was just like, I am going through one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I don't think you're taking it seriously. But now, of course, when other people are like, things are slow, I'm like, oh, you'll be fine. And so I didn't see it as a failure. I ended up seeing it as just like a phase of growth. And when I mean growth, I don't necessarily mean growth of the size of the company, because we're not going to grow again. We're 8 people. The most I'll ever have again is 10. But growth as a professional, growth personally, growth within our own Brain Traffic's practice. And so I think that framing it like that is important, you know, because otherwise, if you're constantly like, I have succeeded or I have failed, why would you do that? It's not like everything's going to stop, right? You have to keep going forward one way or the other.
Yeah, that's kind of epic.
It hurt. it was bad.
And does that advice that people gave you like, oh, what, you've never dealt with that before? I kind of went through something like that late last year. Mm. And then I was talking about it with people on the show and they're all like, well, yeah, that's just what happens. That's just business. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I literally couldn't get out of bed for 3 days. Yep. Like, it just devastated me. And people, oh yeah. Does that really help? Does that advice help? Did that help you?
Oh, for sure. Totally. It helped me. Absolutely. Because it made me, well, first of all, it didn't make me feel alone. I didn't feel alone. It made me feel a whole lot less stupid.
Yeah.
Right. Talking to people who, these are, you know, big names in the design industry and the content industry who, you know, have gone through these expansions and contractions over and over, where sometimes things are fantastic and sometimes things are awful. And just knowing that that's how it goes was enormously, I don't know, fortifying isn't the right word, but just like, okay, well, now I know that. Now I can, you know, move forward and I can put aside these feelings of embarrassment and humiliation and, you know, despair or whatever, because this is what happens. This is life. This is life and business. So it was very helpful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was really, really helpful to me too. And it really puts, oftentimes we really get stuck in our own heads, our own lives, our own businesses, and think that it's like we're the only ones, obviously, in this issue. And typically 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000 people have done it before us and been through all the same crap.
But you know, we are all unique snowflakes. Right?
That's true.
No one's ever, it's never happened quite like this.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of saying it. So that though, when you, I don't know, like, I just wonder why you, well, you say once a week you still think of working for other people, but just last year you went through something that was so dark and traumatic and epic to you. Why do we do this? Why do we do this to ourselves? Are the are the high points really equal to the low points? You know what I mean? I often wonder sometimes, like I go through crazy stuff in my business and it's brutal and devastating. But I still, like every once in a while, it would be okay to work for, I don't really think that. I really think that I just need to do this. But I do often wonder, and I talk about it like with my wife, like, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I continually want to put myself through this. It's a weird thing.
Yes, you do.
Of course. Do I? It's such a weird thing we do. We just hammer ourselves.
You know, like but here's the thing, right? I'm probably exaggerating when I say once a week. I also should clarify, I actually went through that two and a half years ago. It was in the fall of 2012.
Okay.
When I had to lay everybody off.
Still.
And it's been such a like great, fantastic process of rebuilding our book of business, rebuilding morale. You know, and it's not to say that things have always been super awesome and happy for 2.5 years, because they haven't been. And it's scary when things slow down again, because then you're like, oh, here it comes again. And then everything's going to fall apart again. And I should have just cashed out. You know, I keep saying cash out, you know, here, you know, I'll take my $5 and leave. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like anybody's going to buy an 8-person company.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are the things that keep me coming back to it? I would say, first and foremost, I have 6-7 employees. I never remember if 7 includes me or not. To a person whom I respect and admire, who, you know, cracks me right up on a daily basis, who I am completely like honored and joyful to work with. I love coming into the office and seeing these people. And that is part of it, right? Like, I get to hire those people. I get to help create that culture. I get to, you know, benefit personally and professionally from working with these folks. And it's brutal when those people move on, because it happens. You know, it's happened over and over again. I mean, for one reason or another. But, you know, I have people who've gone and then come back. And it just, that community, being able to create and co-create this community is huge for me. I think another thing too is getting to pick the work. And I know that not every entrepreneur is in that position when they're in a service industry like we are, a services industry, to be able to say, yes, this is an interesting project with a good-hearted client that I want to work with, versus, no, I don't want to respond to your onerous RFP and also stop being a jerk, right? That's definitely part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think certainly, I mean, everybody points to the flexibility, right? Like, I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I've been able to schedule my travel and my working time day to day, where I don't think I've missed a single school event or a recital or any like sports game since they got into school or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it too. I don't want to worry about PTO if my kid is going to play in a, you know, bongo concert at 2:00 in the afternoon. I made that up.
Because you wouldn't go to that if they were.
Oh, hell yeah. I would go to a bongo concert with a bunch of 10-year-olds.
That's awesome. Sorry. That was funny. So this kind of takes us to where you are now. So you like the flexibility, you can pick your work, you get to work with great people. But let's look at personally. Personally, there seems to be this struggle that often we go through as entrepreneurs, which I've seen referred to as the entrepreneurial gap, where we are constantly looking to the future, 6 months, a year, 5 years. We're setting goals, and oftentimes right before we even hit those goals, we set 5 other bigger goals. And we're always, everything will always be better. We'll always be happier with what we've accomplished in the future when we get there. And we don't necessarily ever really stop to appreciate where we are. So we get kind of stuck in this sort of gap. And we don't look back to what we have accomplished in the time that we've been doing the stuff we've been doing, which is usually amazing. If we were 10 years ago and we could look forward to where we are, we'd be like, wow, I can't believe it. But we don't do that. If you were to stop right now, Christina, and look back, what would you think and what would you say about everything that you've accomplished so far in business and in life?
Okay, well, I have to pause for just a second because I'm literally sitting here with my jaw on the floor. I have to say, I think of myself as a content strategist first, and I, you know, whatever. Entrepreneur is like way down the list in terms of how I identify myself. So everything that you just said, I'm just like, oh my God, that's what I do. I do that all the time. I'm tense all the time because I can't stop thinking about the future.
I know.
And I never slow down to celebrate my accomplishments, and everybody always gets on me about that. And it's a thing. It's the entrepreneurial gap. It's a thing.
It is. I know. I just discovered this in the last 2 months.
This is amazing. There must be a book. I'm going to go find the book.
I'm writing it right now.
Okay. So are you? Fantastic. Let me know when there's a draft copy. So I was like seriously so stunned by everything that you were just saying that the question was what if I look back?
Well, I want, because I know almost that you were going to be stunned by this question. That's why I love it. And I want you now to literally just stop and turn around and look at what you have done and appreciate it. And tell me if you actually do appreciate what you have accomplished up till now. No looking forward, doesn't matter. If it all stopped right today, tell me how happy you are with what you've done.
I somehow feel like I'm at the front of a church with a pastor going, do you accept the forgiveness?
I'm still the exact opposite of a pastor, but that's cool.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's cool, though.
I grew up in Oklahoma. I was at a lot of, I did a lot of witnessing in church, in Baptist churches in Oklahoma. So I would, you know, I was actually just thinking yesterday, somebody tweeted a link to an essay I wrote in 2008 called The Discipline of Content Strategy that a lot of people point to as sort of kicking off the larger conversation about content strategy. And whoever tweeted the link to it was like, this beautiful essay, this epic, I don't know, like landmark, groundbreaking, whatever, you know, is worth revisiting at least once a quarter. And my reaction was, aw, how nice. That's so sweet, you know. But ultimately, I had somebody ask me maybe last year, like when you wrote that essay and when you wrote content strategy for the web and when you started talking about this, did you know what was going to happen? Like, could you have foreseen the conversation that you would be helping to lead in the coming years? And my honest answer was, yeah. I knew what was going to happen. I knew I had the story right. I knew I had identified the pain points clearly because I had been experiencing them. I knew I was getting in front of and getting the attention of the right kinds of people. So yeah, I mean, I understand what I did and what I contributed. I also very, very clearly understand that my work was built on, you know, a lot of work that had come before me and that largely I was just good at kind of marketing the discipline and telling the story. But yeah, you know, I get it. And I know that the opportunities that I was able to provide people here at Brain Traffic have assisted them to go out and find, you know, interesting work. And I will say too, that the thing that brings it home to me, I guess, more than anything else is when I hear from people either at conferences or I have received emails or even handwritten letters saying that this talk or this post or the book has like changed their careers and like changed their lives. And it, you know, even to hear that from just one person is overwhelming, right? You hear it from like 100 people and it's the kind of thing that makes me want to go home and get in bed and under the covers because it's just sort of, it's overwhelming. And I don't mean to be an asshole by saying, oh, it's so humbling, but it is. I mean, it's, you know, who does, like, who hears that? You know, not many people. So it's, yes, I get it. And yes, I appreciate the work that I've done. But just like anybody else, you know, I also feel like I should be doing more. I could be doing things differently or better. And it's the entrepreneurial gap.
Beautiful answer. I love it. So we've got to talk a lot about you and your business in passing today. Could you just specifically tell the listener where they can go find out more about you, please?
Yeah, you can go to our, I always tell clients that less is more when it comes to content. We walk the walk by having a one-page website. So you can go to braintraffic.com and spend 30 seconds there learning about what we do. It's pretty straightforward though. We got the messaging down. I'm proud of that website. I've only had one person complain about it in the 3 or 4 years that it's been up. So
It's really awesome because you're a content like strategy company and there's one page.
That's
and a retired blog. There's a link to a retired blog.
Oh God, our blog. I don't want to talk about our blog. I mean, it was the right thing to do to shut it down. And we decided from a strategic standpoint, we'd leave it up for as a resource, but it's so embarrassing. It's just so, I can't talk about it. So anyway, braintraffic.com. You can learn more about the book Content Strategy for the Web at contentstrategy.com. Okay. And you can learn about our conferences, our content strategy conferences, which are super awesome and amazing. And it is a blast to participate in them as a host at Confab Events, confabevents.com.
Excellent. When's the next event?
It is mid-May. We call it Confab Central. It's our largest conference here it takes place here in Minneapolis. Which, if you've never been to Minneapolis, or if you don't love Minneapolis, you've never been here. That's our slogan.
I love Minneapolis.
Everybody loves Minneapolis. People come to Minneapolis and they're like, "Oh my God, Minneapolis! Who knew?" Mm-hmm. Of course, we bring them here in May and not in, you know, February. Yeah, it's gonna. I guess conference organizers probably say this every year, but this is our strongest program yet. I feel bad. Like literally I look at the program and I'm just like, wow, I feel badly because I don't know how people are supposed to choose among these sessions. I like people are going to get mad. I can say that, right?
You can.
Yeah. It focuses on all different kinds of aspects of content strategy, content in the user experience, content management in terms of the tools and machines and workflows that we use to manage it. Governance of content within the organization, how to take care of that, editorial stuff in terms of crafting and maintaining content. So it's a good one. It's not content marketing. It's not content marketing. It's about the messy realities of content.
So I just wanted to say that I will link to all of that in the show notes for everyone. So it's very, very easy to find. And
excellent.
I'm also going to put your Twitter on there because you're really active and good on Twitter. So I think people should check you out and say hi to you over there as well.
Great. I love Twitter.
So thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. And yeah, just keep doing what you're doing down there in Minneapolis because it's awesome to watch.
Oh, well, thanks. Excellent. And congratulations on your podcast and your new home with Copyblogger. And that'll be fun to keep an eye on too.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, folks, that is the one and only Christina Halvorsen. She's amazing, isn't she? I told you she was. I told you. You didn't even believe me. But she totally is. Exactly. I know. Find her on Twitter. Say hi. Tell her where you heard her. Tell her what you learned. Tell her, I don't know, ask her some questions. She'd love to talk to you, and I would love for you to go meet her on Twitter. She's just a great, super awesome person. So she said a lot of smart things. But she said that one thing that I just couldn't stop thinking about, right? Didn't she? She totally did. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
There is nothing more humbling than running your own business. I mean, it's humbling to the point of like mortification, and it's good, but it's also, you know, part of this, one of the scary things is sort of having to face yourself and your limitations and the, you know, parts of yourself that cause trouble with employees or get yourselves into financial trouble. And yeah, it's humbling.
And that's the hack. Christina, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is the most Christina Halvorsen answer, even the way she explains it, that I could have imagined for and hoped for. And it's awesome. Yes, Christina, it is absolutely humbling running your own business and dealing with your own fears and limitations. And it's scary and it's crazy and it's amazing. But yeah, of course, it's scary and crazy and bad things happen and good things happen. But it's life, man. Like, we got, this is it. Like, why not? Like, why be bored? Why be just going this straight path? That's what I say anyways. It's humbling. It's scary. It's frightening. It's crazy. It's enlightening. It's amazing. It's all those things. Yes. And that's what makes it awesome. That's what makes life awesome. And taking those chances, stepping up and doing these things that are big or small or whatever they happen to be, but they're things that we don't know how they're going to turn out. And to me, that's what it's about. And that's just thank you so much, Christina. Thank you so much, because I think that that needs to be shared. It's not all roses. It's not all great. It's not all amazing. Maybe most of it's not even all good and great and amazing. I don't know. It depends on whose path and which, an infinite amount of variables. Parts are good, parts are great, parts are terrible, parts are horrible, but it's life. That's how it is. And it's just step up and do it, man. Let's do cool stuff. That's what life's for. Let's just step up and do it. Like Christina, highs and lows. Thank you. So hacktheentrepreneur.com, there's a picture of me taken by my daughter at the very top of the website. There's a place to put your email in there. If you drop your email in there, this Sunday afternoon, I will send you an email. And it's going to be the best writing I'm doing, plus two people on that email list. There's not even a whole lot of people on there. So you've really got great odds. This is not like a crazy lottery or something. But two people will get a copy signed by me of Seth Godin's brand new book. I will mail it straight to your house. And I will be doing this for the next 5 weeks. I got 10 copies. I want you to have it. Seth Godin was on the show a week or two ago. If you haven't listened to it, go hacktheentrepreneur.com. There's a search bar on the right-hand side. Just type in Seth. There it is. It'll pop up. Or I guess Google would actually do this too. If you typed in Hack the Entrepreneur and Seth Godin in Google, it would probably find it too. Oh, geez, I'm having too much fun, guys. You guys are just awesome. You're blowing me away. That there's so many of you out there listening, emailing, tweeting me. It's awesome. It really, really is. I know I say awesome a lot, but I'm happy. This is cool. This is really cool. And I thank you for it, because if you weren't out there listening, I couldn't do this. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Until next time. Please keep hacking the entrepreneur.